Well, we have an emergency edition of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast today. Hope everyone's doing all right. I am Arthur Arkus, joined as always by Bob Laguerre. And Bob, there's big news for April 11th, and it's not that the Bears preseason schedule is going to be announced here in a couple hours.
Yeah, I'm on pins and needles waiting for that preseason schedule. But the bigger thing was obviously the Cam Meredith thing. Not a real big surprise that the Bears didn't match the, I think, $10 million, I think $9.6 million. Either way, the Bears deemed it too pricey for them, especially with the splurging they did in free agency. Picking up Burton and Allen Robinson and T.O. Gabriel. I don't know that I can say it's a good move for the Saints, but what it does point out is that the Bears' decision to tender Cam Meredith at $1.9 million seems incredibly short-sighted, because for $1 million more, they could have kept him and probably prevented anybody from making him any kind of an offer. So they tendered him at $1.9 million. And he left themselves open to somebody coming in and swooping up a player who had a breakout season in 2016 and may not be 100% now coming off the torn ACL, but should be pretty close to the start of the regular season.
Bob, what's the bigger concern here if you're a Bears fan? The current state of the wide receiver position after losing Cam Meredith, or is it Ryan Pace's difficulties kind of properly handling restricted free agency this offseason, particularly, of course, as it pertains now to Cam Meredith?
Well, what it does is put an awful lot of pressure on Allen Robinson being able to come back from a very similar injury, a torn ACL in his left knee. There's no guarantee he'll be ready on opening day. His injury actually occurred 2 or 3 weeks later than Cam Meredith's. Obviously, they're not identical, but they are similar. That and Kevin White, who's a guy who's never been able to stay healthy. Maybe he will this year, maybe he won't. Taylor Gabriel, again, they signed, I think, is a nice pickup and a neat little gadget to have. He's not a guy you can plug in on the outside in place of Cam Meredith or in place of Allen Robinson if he's not healthy. There were all kinds of questions last year for the Bears at the wide receiver position. And I don't know that right now they're a whole lot better than they were last year. And we know what happened last year. They had the worst group of receivers in the NFL.
We talk a lot, Bob, on this podcast about, especially this time of year, of course, how you don't want to create extra needs in the draft if you can avoid it. You want to maximize your flexibility and stick to a best player available philosophy whenever you can. Hard to argue that this doesn't create another need, potentially a need as early as day two for the Bears now, right?
Yeah, sure. I don't know that it's a drastic need. And, you know, if everyone stays healthy, it may not be a need at all. Trey Burton will help. But is Trey Burton going to be that much of an upgrade over what Zach Miller was last year while he was healthy? I don't know. I mean, I think the arrow is pointing up and he's got a lot of upside. Certainly the Bears are paying him as if he's got a lot of upside. And the problem is, I don't know that they can afford to address wide receiver before the third day. They don't have a third-round pick, so they've only got one second-day pick, a second-rounder. Right. Certainly they have bigger needs at edge and maybe interior offensive line. But it's gone from being a position that you probably could have gotten away without addressing at all in the draft to one where they at least got to take a shot, probably fourth round at the latest, maybe fifth round.
Yeah, it's a good point by you. I can't help but wonder if this further incentivizes Ryan Pace to try and get back that third rounder he lost in the Trubisky deal. But you're absolutely right. Just one pick as it currently stands on day two of the draft. He's Bob Laguerre. I'm Arthur Arkus. This is the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. We will also be joined here in a few minutes by Hub Arkus. But right now we're chatting with Bob Laguerre about the news that the Bears are going to lose Cam Meredith or have lost Cam Meredith to the Saints. They chose not to match that restricted free agent offer from New Orleans, $10 million over two seasons, I believe, with some additional incentives in there as well. Bob, what do you think? We got to be careful here. We don't want to paint Cam Meredith as a future Hall of Famer or anything like that. Obviously, he had one really nice season, and he's coming off one potentially devastating knee injury. But, you know, I think for Bears fans in particular, maybe it's hard not to kind of let sentiment get involved here because of what a great story Cam Meredith was, the converted college quarterback at Illinois State. And what a great story it was for Ryan Pace, too, as a what I want to say as a rookie GM at the time, to find such a nice undrafted gem there in Meredith. How much do you think that kind of factors in to what I think really is a fairly, and again, it's all relatively speaking, but in terms of football news on April that it relates to the Bears, this is a somewhat of an emotional one or a big story for Bears fans.
Well, yeah, I think Meredith was a nice player and a chance to be a very good player. He's got, you know, he's not going to take the top off the defense, but he's big, he's strong, he's got decent speed for his size. I think they saw him as maybe, had he not gotten hurt, a guy who could be an Alshon Jeffrey-type receiver down the road. Doesn't have Alshon Jeffrey speed, but has the ability to go up and get the ball down the field and win 50-50 balls. And, you know, let me say right off the top, I don't think Cam Meredith is worth a $10 million investment for 2 years right now, especially with the situation with the torn ACL. But I absolutely think that it would have been worth spending an extra $1 million to tender him at the next highest offer of $2.9 million to keep him for this year and see what you have. See how close he is to 100%. And even if he's not ready to go on day one, $2.9 million for this year, even if he misses a couple of games, is nothing compared to what they're going to pay Kevin White this year. He's going to make $5.3 million. And, you know, look at his resume, look at his track record. I think, you know, $2.9 million for Cam Meredith is a great bargain when you compare it to what they've already paid Kevin White.
You just nailed it right there, Bob. That was an absolutely accurate assessment of where things stand here. I think that was the perfect snapshot. But then let me throw the question back to you, maybe slightly reworded. Should Bears fans be concerned, or do you think – what have you learned about Ryan Pace and his tenure here so far to maybe, I don't know, to feel confident that maybe there is some humility involved here? Maybe this can become a teaching point, because I think we're in agreement. He misplayed his RFA hand. He had leverage that he chose not to exercise, and a good player walks as a result. So do you think the next time this creeps up, Bears fans should feel more confident that this type of situation, you know, will be avoided in the future? Or do you think he's going to stick, you know, to his guns here and think that he played this thing right?
Yeah, I think, you know, Ryan Pace's record in free agency in Chicago is checkered at best. I think he's done a much better job in the draft. And everybody thinks right now that he really got it right this year in free agency. Maybe he overpaid, but everybody does in free agency. But he actually identified and targeted guys who fit in this offense and who should be able to step in and contribute right away. You know, that remains to be seen. I you know, every year in free agency, teams that make a lot of moves, fans get excited and we write a lot about it. And more often than not, it really doesn't come to fruition and it doesn't look as good in September as it did in March. But I think this year's crew has a much better job of being successful than last year's group did. You know, last year was, you know, if I had to give Ryan Pace a grade for last year, it would be a D at best. And, you know, in prior years, he hadn't been a whole lot better than that. So I think we need to see, you know, let's see how this year plays out and how it goes for him. But he's got a lot of catching up to do as far as the agency. I think, again, he's done a fine job drafting. I would probably give him a B-minus to this point. Has hit on some later-round guys. Tory Cohen is obviously the poster child for that. And, you know, we'll have to see what he does this year. But I think if this year's crop of free agents that they signed doesn't come through and isn't, you know, a stellar group as far as the money they spent, then I think you really have to start questioning Ryan Pace and whether he's the right guy for this job.
Just a couple more minutes here with Bob Laguerre, our Chicago Bears beat writer. This is the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. I am Arthur Arkish, and we'll be joined shortly here by Hub. But just one or two more for you quickly, Bob. I don't think we can debate the fit, and our Greg Gabriel, PFW draft expert, spent a lot of time working for the Bears. He and I just went back and forth on Twitter a little bit in him pointing out that it's the personnel department's responsibility to find guys that fit. So I had said, you know, it's a new coaching staff and it's kind of up to Nagy to make it work with a good football player, but Gabriel didn't entirely agree with that. Just your thoughts on maybe the fit part of this and whether he isn't the type of player that Matt Nagy's looking for, that Mark Helfrich is looking for in their spread West Coast offense. And then the second part of that, and this one, unfortunately, I think is going to concern Bears fans a little bit. Well, now he goes to join Drew Brees, future Hall of Famer, and Curtis Johnson, his former position coach who oversaw his 2016 breakout. And, oh, yeah, with Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn and Alvin Kamara there, the Saints may just be in position to more or less, I'm not predicting this, but couldn't they really redshirt Cam Meredith if they wanted to and then just see what he's going to become in 2019, 2 years removed from this injury, and then maybe kind of a lookout situation, see if he can make the most of being in a great situation?
Sure. I would say absolutely. They don't need him to be 100% on opening day or even any time in September. If it takes till mid-season, they have enough talent on their roster to absorb that kind of hit and to let him come along slowly. I don't know that you can make the same argument for the Bears.
Right.
Again, if Allen Robinson is – and Allen Robinson was absolutely convinced, at least in his own mind and when he spoke to us, that there was no question he was going to be 100% by opening day. And we've heard that before, and we've seen it with Kevin White. So, you know, a lot depends on Allen Robinson now. He's getting paid a lot of money, and without Cam Meredith there and with the question marks surrounding Kevin White, a lot is on Allen Robinson right now. And it's going to be interesting. I mean, here's another young kid, 25 years old, just like Cam Meredith. There's a lot being asked of him this year, especially with Cam Meredith leaving. A lot of it's going to fall on Allen Robinson.
No doubt about it. Bob, last one I have for you. Thanks for hopping on today, being flexible and doing this on short notice. Just your thoughts on kind of dealing with Meredith now for 3 years in the locker room. I'm guessing, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm guessing back in 2015 when he was one of the undrafted finds out of Illinois State, you probably said who or didn't think that 3 years from then we'd be having an emergency podcast dedicated to Cam Meredith. Just kind of your thoughts on his growth at Hallis Hall in a Bears uniform and just kind of covering him in the past couple of years.
Well, sure. When he came in, the big story was that he was a local kid from St. Joe's, and he didn't even play wide receiver in high school. He was a quarterback. He actually didn't play wide receiver at Illinois State until he was halfway through his career there, when he switched over from quarterback and became a wide receiver. And that was the story. That was an interesting little tidbit, and a local guy. And, you know, normally when you think of a high school kid from St. Joe's, you think of a basketball player. And he said he played a little basketball, but the competition there was pretty tough. And he found it a lot easier to make his mark on the football field. A great story and a really good guy. He really didn't change all that much from a guy who came in, as you said, who nobody knew who he was other than the fact that he was a local guy, to, in 2016, leading pass catcher, led the team in receiving yards. And that was with Alshon Jeffrey on the team. And throughout the whole thing, throughout the process, he remained the same guy. And coaches always talked about how hard he worked. And maybe it was because he got such a late start at the position that he felt like he needed to do it. But, you know, that's the other thing that you mentioned, that being reunited with Curtis Johnson, that's got to help him. And yeah, obviously, Drew Brees throwing to you is going to be nice, too. So I think he's going to continue to have a pretty nice career. He's not going to replace Michael Thomas as the number one receiver, but as a number two or a number three, he could be a really effective guy in New Orleans.
Well, I know, I think I can speak for both of us in saying that we wish Cam Meredith the best in the next chapter of his NFL career. And I think I can also safely say that this just adds another layer of intrigue to what was already a fascinating Bears storyline, this new look wide receiver position for Mitch Trubisky in year two. And as Bob correctly pointed out, there's going to be a little bit more pressure now on some of the newcomers. And as Bob pointed out on the podcast last week, new really is the key word here with this whole offensive dynamic, with this whole Bears club. So, Bob, that's going to do it for our little chat here today. I'm going to pick up with Hub Arkish in a minute. But thank you so much for hopping on, and we'll do it again next week.
You're looking for a website to keep you up to date on all the latest news, scoops, and rumors from around the NFL. Look no further than ProFootballWeekly.com. It's the place for all the best news around the league. You'll find breaking news, hard-hitting columns, video, photos, podcasts, and more. All 32 teams, 24/7, 365 days a year. While you're at it, catch up with all things NFL in our newsletter. Our NFL Daily Update will send you all of the news you need to keep up with the pace of the NFL. You'll get news, analysis, and more sent right to your inbox at noon, Monday through Friday. Sign up now to start getting NFL news during the week. Pro Football Weekly, bringing the best coverage in the NFL to its readers since 1967. Are you following us on social media? Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Pro Football Weekly. Then head over to Twitter and follow PF Weekly and never miss an NFL update. There are plenty of ways for you to enjoy Pro Football Weekly, whether in print or online. If news breaks in the NFL, don't miss a thing and keep it at profootballweekly.com.
And up next on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast, this is the emergency version of our PFW Chicago podcast with Cam Meredith News, the restricted free agent who is heading to the New Orleans Saints after the Bears decided not to match the Saints' offer. And actually, Hub, I think it gets back further than that, and Bob did a good job of pointing that out. It's not so much that the Bears chose not to match. It might have been the tender that they chose in the first place that opened them up for scrutiny with the way this thing played out here today.
Well, I understand why people want to speculate about that. Obviously, the Twitterverse is full of the geniuses who are claiming that, you know, the Bears screwed up and they knew it all along. But the simple reality is there is no way in my mind that the Saints or anybody else give Meredith an offer sheet if it's going to cost him a second-round pick. You know, that's the reason he got the offer, is that he was free other than the money. You know, I mean, if you think about it, who do you get a second-round pick for in a trade? So, I don't think they screwed up at all with the offer sheet. I think they were willing to risk losing him in the hopes of possibly a different outcome. But this tells you that in their minds, he wasn't even a lock to make their football team. So I don't like the decision. I think it's probably a mistake. But the one really important caveat is, A, I'm not a doctor. And B, even if I were, I wouldn't know how to read the medical reports, you know, or I should take turn that around. A, I don't know how to read the medical reports. And B, if I were a doctor, you know, I might have a different opinion. But at the end of the day, the only thing I can make of this is they don't trust the knee. There is a possibility, B, that we'll get to, which I think is even scarier. But this just really feels like a mistake on the Bears' part, again, assuming that his knee is close to 100%. Now, if there's something wrong with that knee, that we don't know. And I'm reasonably sure, I could be wrong about this, but I don't think the Saints would have been able to give him a physical prior to the offer sheet. But again, I could be wrong about that. So it's the only explanation I can come up with, is that they don't trust that knee.
Okay. I'd be stunned if they weren't able to give him a physical, but you've been doing this a lot longer than me, so you could definitely be right about that. And let me just backtrack for 1 minute, though, because I don't know if maybe I phrased the question wrong or if we're not necessarily on the same page. I think the Bears made a mistake, too, but I think it was by not using the second-round tender. So is that what you're – if they use the second-round tender, there's no way the Saints are spending a second-rounder, and Cam's probably not even going to visit New Orleans or Baltimore or Indianapolis. Is that fair to say? That's what I was getting at. That's what Bob Legere got at a few minutes ago as well.
I mean, I think we all agree on that, but okay. The point is it also would have cost them an extra $1 million,
right,
and it would not have given them any leverage to end up with a two-year deal, which is what he's getting.
Sure.
The one thing I saw, you know, our buddy Greg Gabriel tweeting about it, and I couldn't disagree with Greg more, that he feels the contract is a little rich for Cam Meredith. Take a look at what guys with 60-some catches and 880 yards are getting. The contract is fair.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the Bears accomplished their purpose in getting something they could work with. They just didn't expect it. I don't know what to make of it without knowing the physical.
Sure.
That's the really hard part here.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and I'm glad you're pointing that out, because it's easy for us to all be critical on Twitter and to put on our doctor caps, if you will, but I'm glad that we're not even going to attempt to do that on this podcast, because it's ridiculous. Hub, I think it's a good segue, though, because you mentioned, gosh, you don't have to look outside of Hallis Hall to see some of the absurd overpayments on wide receivers, and I love the Allen Robinson one. I think that's the exception, but anyone who says that the Bears didn't overpay a little bit for Taylor Gabriel, they got a bridge to sell you as well. So my question here, is there any concern that And you have to talk around the injury part of it. I know that it's impossible to ignore, but if we can just kind of view things in a vacuum for a moment, is there any concern that the Bears chose not to reward one of their homegrown guys, one of their biggest success stories, and then they threw all that money at Taylor Gabriel and Trey Burton, and to a lesser extent, Allen Robinson? He got the biggest deal, but I think that could turn into the biggest bargain of them all.
Well, there's a huge concern about it, Arthur, because the one thing that Ryan Pace tells us consistently is that he's going to build this team through the draft.
Right.
And while Cam Meredith was an undrafted rookie free agent, it's the same thing. I mean, he's a rookie that you brought in yourself. You developed him yourself. He was a great find. And now you let him get away, again, assuming he's not damaged goods. I also have an even slightly bigger concern than that. This is what I mentioned a few minutes ago. There's a potential part B here. The other thing that we can't ignore is that they may have let him get away because they didn't feel that there was room for both him and Kevin White on the roster, and they're betting on Kevin White.
Oh, man.
And that would make perfect sense because they're the same player. I mean, White is actually a little bigger, a little faster, and a little more athletic, but they and Allen Robinson, all three of them are the same player. And so, you know, they didn't want to end up overloaded with those kind of guys. Now, listen, I hope Kevin White makes it. He was a great kid when he got to Chicago. He's become seemingly a little bitter and a little cynical, but I think he's basically still a good kid. I'd love to see him get a chance to use those talents. But what really troubles me is that he looked like damaged goods to me in Bourbonnais last year before injury number three. He looked like he had lost whatever it was that they saw in him when they drafted him. And so, you know, why another year off, granted with a shoulder as opposed to a leg, is going to make that better, I don't know. It would be a great, great story if Kevin White turned out to be a Pro Bowl receiver, because that's what you got to be if you're drafted with the number 7 overall pick. But if they're betting on the health of Kevin White over the health of Cam Meredith's knee, plus the fact that Cam Meredith has a solid number 2 receiver season under his belt, Kevin White's never really played in the league, that would be even more troubling to me. But you can't really rule that out either, because he's clearly still here, you know, and Cam Meredith now is not.
Right. We're chatting with Hub Arkish on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. I am Arthur Arkish. We're talking about the Cam Meredith decision, fallout, et cetera. It's worthy of an emergency podcast, which I don't believe any of us would have ever said when Cam Meredith, the local kid, got here in 2015 as an undrafted free agent, a former college quarterback out of Illinois State. And it's a credit to him, and it's a credit to the Bears' development in him. And now he goes with Curtis Johnson, who maybe was most responsible for that breakout 2016 season. Johnson, of course, now is an senior offensive assistant and wide receiver coach in New Orleans, I believe. Hub, you've thrown the term damaged goods around a couple times. I can't look past the fact that Ryan Pace's two biggest free agent moves as Bears general manager, and we'll not count Mike Glennon here for a moment. Pernell McPhee arrived from Baltimore, frankly, as damaged goods. That's what your sources were telling you at the time 3 years ago. And then the gamble on Allen Robinson also coming off the ACL. So it's not that there isn't sort of a willingness on Ryan Pace's behalf to take a chance with these health risks. And that's what kind of makes this seem even funkier on another level, in my opinion.
Well, you know, again, you have to be careful going too far in some of these observations. One of the things that I'm guessing most of our listeners don't realize is that Allen Robinson is actually younger than Cam Meredith, and there have been some pretty incredible comebacks from guys with ACLs, and right off the top, Keenan Allen didn't look too bad. Adrian Peterson bounced back pretty quick. They're all over the league. Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
ACLs are not what they once were, and so I don't see Allen Robinson as that tremendous a risk so much as I'm surprised that there appears to me to be something they're seeing in Cam Meredith that worries them more. The one thing that does not add up for me is the idea that the Bears decided not to match just because they didn't want to pay him $10 million. That doesn't make any sense. They had plenty of cap space. It's not an unreasonable amount for a guy with the season he had 2 years ago. There's got to be more to the story. And, you know, the other interesting thing, Arthur, that nobody's really talking about is I'm not sure what kind of fit he is in New Orleans, where he really, again, is the same. You know, I don't know whether it's the Y or the Z, but he's the same receiver that Michael Thomas is. And so, again, you know, maybe not quite as athletic, but other than that, very similar. So it's just all kinds of strange side notes on this deal. And I want to be as clear as I can with our listeners. I'm not saying the Bears are wrong. I'm not calling it, you know, a mistake until we have a feel for how healthy Cam Meredith is. But it's been such a feel-good offseason, and this one just doesn't feel good right now.
That's an interesting point, Hub, the Saints fit part of it. But I will say, if anyone has earned the benefit of the doubt in that regard, it's Sean Payton. And look at what he did with Alvin Kamara. Look at what he did with second rounder and Michael Thomas, who's now probably, what, a top five, top seven at the most wide receiver in the NFL. So I'm not as worried about the fit part of it. But I think what Bears fans would rather hear about is how he would or would not have fit into Matt Nagy's scheme. I mentioned it with Laguerre. Greg Gabriel and I went back and forth on Twitter a little while ago. I said that I think it's a coach's job to make the most of good football players, not the other way around, make them work in the schemes they have. Greg politely pointed out, actually, it's the personnel department's job to make sure that they're, if they're doing the grocery shopping, that they're getting the right guys on the list for the head coach. Where do you fall on all that? Do you think that that spread offense where speed is being, a bigger premium is being placed on speed was a big part of this too, and kind of an intermediate guy coming off an injury in Meredith?
Well, you know, it's an interesting conversation. It cuts both ways, you know, and certainly, you know, Greg Gabriel, who spent 10 years as a college scouting director with the Chicago Bears, is going to come at it, you know, from his view, whereas players, coaches, and media might come at it a little differently. Sure. What I would add to the conversation is that if you're looking for a comp in Kansas City, it's probably Michael Conley, who really didn't work out so well, you know, and that may be part of what Nagy was seeing and part of what he's discussing with Ryan Pace. You know, I think that we don't know yet enough about what the working relationship is going to be with Ryan Pace and John Fox and how much weight Nagy's going to get in these conversations. I mean, you know, we do know that while Ryan Pace has adamantly said the coaching staffs belong to his coaches, the roster belongs to him. And so I don't view this so much as a Matt Nagy, you know, decision or fit, as I think this is a Ryan Pace decision. And you know, I'm sure with input from his coaches and everybody else. I mean, he's got a first-time NFL wide receiver coach in Mike Furry, so I don't think you're going to take a lot out of that. You know, you'll probably talk to Brad Childress and Mark Helfrich about it as well. But at the end of the day, you know, whatever happened here, I think was the final reckoning of Ryan Pace. And that's why I keep coming back to the medical. The rest of it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You brought Taylor Gabriel in to be the difference maker, the difference in style from a Kevin White or an Allen Robinson. You've also got Trey Burton for that. So I don't think that's a good enough reason to get rid of Cam Meredith. I think the idea was that you'd have you know, both Cam Meredith and Allen Robinson split wide, although you could put one of them in the slot. And then you use the move tight end, and you use Gabriel all over the place to try and be your change of pace guy. So I don't get a sense that fit is really what this is about. But again, I could be completely wrong on that.
Wouldn't be the first time. Won't be the last. It's the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. I got one more for you on the way out. And I'm kidding, of course. No one's wrong more often than me, but that doesn't stop me from continuing to take my shots. That's what we do here on this show. So, and I don't mean take shots at people. I just mean shoot my shots. You know, we're in full-on draft mode at PFW, obviously, and we hope, we trust that listeners by now are checking out all the coverage. They've subscribed to our free draft newsletter, and they've hopefully subscribed to our new database that we're so excited about with all Gabriel's updated scouting reports behind it. You can basically get it for cheaper than a Starbucks latte, 6 months of unlimited access. So I can't recommend that enough, but I think this is the right way to close the conversation. What does today's decision or today's transaction do to the Bears' draft plans, if anything, in your estimation?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Arthur, because everybody's now assuming that eighth pick is in play, or that now you can trade down and somewhere between 14 and 22 still take a wide receiver in the first round. But today did absolutely nothing to lessen the need for a pass rusher and an interior offensive lineman.
Right.
And if you're worried in the minds of the Bears, if in Ryan Pace's and Matt Nagy's mind, you've suddenly created a real need here, then you probably don't make the move. You know, so I'm not sure how much impact it has on the draft. I think it makes it a lot more likely that they now look at wideouts in the middle rounds, maybe on day two. Maybe it incentivizes them more to try and add a third round pick this year, which probably takes a trade down in the first round. You know, or maybe you trade out of the second, you get two thirds, something like, I don't know, you know, but I don't think you can automatically say, well, now, you know, Calvin Ridley or Cortland Sutton doesn't play at number eight. I don't see that at all.
Right.
It could incentivize the Bears to move down, which I think they've already been incentivized to do. But what it could do is suggest that now if you are, you know, lower down, let's say 15 to 25, and the best player on your board is a wide receiver, you know, you're more likely to consider it. Whereas at number eight, I just don't see a scenario where the best player on their board is going to be a wideout.
Yeah, that would be troubling. It doesn't look like there's a wide receiver in this draft worth the eighth pick. So I think, yeah, we're more likely talking about kind of what goes on in the later rounds. But it's going to be fascinating, guys, and we're going to continue to break it all down here on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. This is the first emergency Bears podcast that I think I've called for. So, Hub, I appreciate you being flexible and jumping on at a moment's notice. And this will only add to kind of the intrigue of everything that's gone down this offseason, and it'll certainly be interesting to follow it as we continue moving forward. But thank you again, and we'll look forward to chatting more Bears on next week's Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast.
Yeah, you know, Arthur, I would just add, I'd like to say to Cam Meredith, good luck. I mean, the part that's being lost here is that he is a local kid, you know, and he was a great story, and I do think he'll be missed in Chicago. And the decisions have been made, and so I think I probably speak for most Bears fans when I say I hope the knee is 100%, and I hope he ends up going to a few Pro Bowls as a New Orleans Saint.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm glad you added that. I gave LeGarrette the chance to do that when we chatted. So, yeah, no question. We're all rooting for Cam to make a full recovery and have a successful second chapter, even if it isn't in Chicago. So that'll do it for the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Thank you again so much to Hub Arkush and Bob LeGarrette for joining me. Thank you to our producer, Dan Mott, who's going to get this podcast up on short notice as well. And, of course, most of all, the thanks goes to you. Head to iTunes, subscribe to the PFW Chicago podcast, also our NFL and fantasy football podcasts, and we would be most appreciative. So we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks again, guys.